Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Fearing, liberty-loving patriots, welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is episode 17 of the 2021. So 21-17 on this beautiful Sunday evening. At least it's beautiful in the American Redoubt. Hopefully it is where you are. And hopefully you guys are out there safe, camping, barbecuing, boating, shooting guns, just having a great patriotic weekend, remembering those who paid the ultimate price for us to have this country that we love so dearly, that many of us have defended. And we want to take the time this weekend not to remember those who served, not those who are in the military, not to the veterans, but those who died fighting for this country that we love so much. So, there we are. Hopefully you guys are being safe and having a great weekend. So got a lot of good stuff to cover, a bunch of stuff happening tomorrow. And I know that several of you are in the American Redoubt, various different places, checking out Patriot-held territory, looking to strategically get relocated here very soon. And so good luck with that. And welcome to the American Redoubt. Some of you are checking out places in the Texas Redoubt or the Appalachian Redoubt and various different other conservative pockets to get strategically relocated. And there's a reason why. The Republic is under attack right now. And those of us who took oaths against all enemies, foreign and domestic, well, we see both today, sadly. And I want to talk about that. Since this is Memorial Day weekend, our military is under attack from within. There used to be a program called SAEDA, Subversion and Espionage, directed against the Army, and they really hammered it into our heads. But subversion, what is subversion? Subversion is something that would undermine your ability to be effective, efficient, and ultimately be able to carry out your mission, your goal, your purpose. To undermine that is to subvert it, to undermine the values, the will to fight for American ideals, or even just the distortion of what American ideals are. All of that is subversion, and that's exactly what we have happening right now. And thank God some leadership is stepping forward. So I'm going to talk about that. And I'm going to go over a document that's just one of several leaked documents that are coming out. It's not really leaked. It's unclassified. I'm sure they don't really want us, would like it if we didn't know it was there. But this is the kind of stuff that's happening in our military in every branch right now as they hunt for so-called extremism. What they really mean is domestic terrorism, and what they really mean by that is anyone who might stand in the globalist communist way, anyone who might challenge them, anyone who they feel threatened by. And of course, communists historically have always been threatened by everyone who isn't licking their boots and waving their banner and marching in the street. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about and cover tonight. But first, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, both authors. But they are also host and co-host at Prepping 2.0, helping to get your preps taken to the next level. Prepping 2.0 is the podcast, and Prepping 2-0.com is the website. Check them out. All right. Well, first of all, Michigan high school valedictorian forbidden from mentioning Christianity in their graduation speech. This is brought to us by PJ Media and written by Eric Lendrum. This is not a surprise. We've actually seen this happen since the 90s, but they're getting so bold, so aggressive, militant, anti-Christian now. A high school valedictorian in Michigan is being prohibited by the school from mentioning her Christian faith in her graduation speech. The student, Elizabeth Turner, God bless her, is the valedictorian of Hillsdale High School in Hillsdale, Michigan. Upon submitting the draft of her speech to the school, the speech was returned to her with several passages censored due to her mentioning Jesus Christ and her Christian faith. The justification given by the school's principal was that discussing Christianity was, quote, not appropriate, close quote, and would not be representing the school, quote, close quote. Now, before I continue with this, I can guarantee you, I would bet you pretty much anything, that if a Muslim were valedictorian and had a speech talking about Allah, they would allow it. This is the double standard here, all in the name of suppressing Christianity, but allowing Islam to spread in the name of religious freedom, while they're suppressing the freedom of the religion that founded this nation. The religion of the people that founded this nation, I should say, as a Christian nation. And that's really what this comes down to, is a war against Christianity. So here's a continuing on with the quote from this principal. Quote, "You are representing the school in your speech, not using the podium as your public forum." False. Valedictorians have always used the podium as their public forum because they're brilliant, they're bright, they got superb grades and performance all the way through school, and so they are supposed to say something that encourages and inspires their fellow classmates, because there's obviously something about this person that contributed to their achievements, and people want to hear, what is it? What's your magic formula? How you did so well. What's your advice for us? That is what it is all about. That's what the podium is for. It is the public forum. The podium is the public forum for a valedictorian. Hello. But she said, we need to be mindful about the inclusion of religious aspects. These are your strong beliefs, but they are not appropriate. Talking about Jesus Christ, the founder of the universe, the creator of the universe, and the one responsible for the United States as a nation actually coming to be, is not appropriate, she says. Well, it's not appropriate for a speech in a public school setting. All of the founding fathers of this country would argue against that. Anyway, God bless her. And you know what? I hope there's a lawsuit, and I hope this girl's college is paid for sixfold by this school district. Next, a hat shop. I saw this article earlier, but then this has developed since the article first came out. This is a follow-up. A hat shop began producing these, like, yellow Star of David that in the middle, said, in the center of it, said, not vaccinated. It's a political statement. As we have seen this country change and develop a dual-class citizenship, or a two classes of citizenship, I should say, the masks and the not masks, the vaccinated, the not vaccinated, the woke, the not woke, however you want to put it. But these masks and the vaccinations, soon to be the vaccinations, what they call vaccinations, which are technically not vaccinations, but that's what they're calling them, because they don't have a vaccination for COVID-19, but they do have a medical experiment they're using that's not truly a vaccine. So the mask and the vaccines are essentially very reminiscent of the different classification of citizens that we had, that the Nazis had, that Germany had in prior to World War II, leading up to World War II. So if you have the Jewish star, you were not allowed into certain restaurants. If you had a star, you were subject to additional scrutiny from law enforcement. You couldn't attend certain events if you had the Jewish star on you. You were a lower class citizen. Well, today there are, for example, concert tickets at a punk, grunge, punk concert with multiple bands. I believe this is in Georgia or Florida. Kind of a college punk type venue with, I think, three bands. It was, if I'm not mistaken, it was $17 or $19 for a ticket, unless if you were vaccinated. If you did not have proof of vaccination, a ticket was $1,000. Now, there's discussion about allowing people or not allowing people to fly on planes or to attend different sporting events or concerts, other events in public venues. Some of these saltwater governors like Inslee and Brownshirt and Nuisance all have proposed ideas of limiting attendance to public venues to those who have been vaccinated. And then they say, oh, no, we're not going to actually push for that. Well, some of them backpedal on it, but many of them do not. So I thought it was very appropriate, but this hat shop owner in Nashville is apologizing after outrage over the store selling not vaccinated yellow stars, fashioned after the insignia Jews were forced to wear by Nazis. Hat Works is the store that offers the item for $5, run by Haberdasher Gigi Gaskins. In an Instagram post, there was an explanation for why she compared unvaccinated people to Holocaust-era Jews. In no way did I intend to trivialize the Star of David or disrespect what happened to millions of people. No, read the unsigned apology post on the Instagram. My hope was to share my genuine concern and fear and to do all that I can to make sure nothing like that ever happens again. I sincerely apologize for any insensitivity. Do not apologize. What you did is exactly appropriate. All of the Holocaust survivors that we've seen who've talked about the Star of David and the different lower classes of citizens and how they were treated, they have all vowed to tell their stories so this will never happen again. The Star of David with not vaccinated embroidered on it is a perfect conversation piece and a perfect opportunity to educate people who have forgotten history. It is a great way to start the discussion. What's that? What does that mean? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. This is exactly what it stands for. And I've said it before. This is exactly the mask and the vaccine passports are our modern day Star of David, the Jewish star, just like from Nazi Germany. And it's because it's not about being dishonoring to what happened to millions of people. It's honoring to them by passing on to future generations exactly what that star meant to them and what it will mean for us and the millions of us who are going to die if we stay on this trajectory that we're on. So good on you. Next, from Zero Hedge, Tyler Durden, doing a good job as always. Gas going to $5 per gallon, first in California, then across the country. Well, it's already happening. I saw a couple of pictures that were taken in California, and these gas prices, I think only the regular unleaded was under $5. All the other gas was over $5 a gallon. So, yeah, and of course, they talk about, you know, why this is. It's the reasoning for the price hike was to repair the state's infrastructure, but instead the proceeds have been directed toward projects aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions. There you go. They're going to use taxes that's intended for infrastructure. They're going to hijack those. They're going to re-divert them and put them toward green or climate change policies. And look, they're doing it right there. Called that one. And there they are doing it. Okay, now, if you guys didn't hear about this, was awesome. Governor Chicken Little from Idaho, his name is Brad Little, known by patriots as Chicken Little, he goes to some governor's conference. Of course, you should always be nervous whenever governors go to governor's conferences, because that's where they dream up all these stupid, moronic policies that erode your state sovereignty and raise your taxes and give more and more power over to national or international policy centers. But while he's away, Lieutenant Governor McKeon, patriot, she's a hardcore patriot. Matter of fact, she threw her hat in to the race to run as governor in the upcoming race. So in what, 2 years? Redoubt News has covered this. Is really great. But while she was acting governor, she signs a executive order banning mandates stating that you must wear masks in government entities, including public schools. It's not a ban on masks, and it doesn't stop people from wearing them if they choose to wear them. But it was a ban on libraries and other government entities making you wear masks to come into those facilities. So he hears about it. He flips out. Now, that executive order was effective at 11 a.m. on May 27th. This is beautiful. He comes and just flips his lid. So Idaho Governor Brad Little rescinded, after he gets back from his trip, he rescinds Lieutenant Governor Janice McKeon's executive order banning mask mandates on Friday. And he calls it a self-serving political stunt. Well, he might be actually partially right, but this is awesome, because this was a brilliant strategic move. He just basically made the patriot, just made Chicken Little look like the tyrant and act like the tyrant that he is and has been all through this COVID-19 scamdemic. So he comes back and says, "The action that took place while I was traveling this week is not gubernatorial." Oh, yes, it was. "The action that took place was an irresponsible, self-serving political stunt, taking the earliest opportunity to act solitarily on a highly politicized, polarizing issue without conferring with local jurisdictions, legislators, and the sitting governor is, simply put, an abuse of power." No, what he has done is an abuse of power. What he has done is exactly, this is what leftists do. This is supposedly a Republican. He projected onto her what he has been doing for a year. And of course, this has been a polarizing issue. And he has taken multiple opportunities to act solitarily on a highly politicized, polarizing issue. Oh, he conferred with local jurisdictions and legislators. And who was that? Those are yes men. Those are the people that are wringing their hands over the dollar signs from COVID relief emergency funds as they kept this so-called the scamdemic going. Beautiful move on her part, running for governor. She gave the people liberty. He called it tyranny. While he's been acting tyrannous and restricting people's liberties, crushing private businesses, all for taking grant money from the federal government when this whole thing's a scam. Medical professionals have been telling us it's a scam almost from day one. We played along, and once it became apparent this was not the real deal, he continued on with the charade. Why? I don't know. Follow the money trail? I'm just saying. Well, before we take a break, a Wisconsin pastor ordered to step down after he preached against the vaccine. So, Reverend James Altman, a Catholic priest in Wisconsin, was asked to resign by church officials for preaching negative comments about the coronavirus vaccine, according to NBC News. So, bad think, wrong think. Yep, here we are, 1984 and 2021. The Reverend James Altman, who sparked controversy for criticizing his diocese for not conducting in-person mass services during the pandemic, announced the news during his sermon at Sunday Mass. In his homily, titled, "I Am Not Afraid," Altman said the left was trying to cancel him after the Diocese of La Crosse Bishop Callahan called him divisive and ineffective. Gosh, says, I wonder if this is Governor Chicken Little's cousin. So the tyrant calls this unafraid reverend who speaks the truth, speaks against the vaccines, divisive and ineffective, and asked him to resign. He said, unfortunately, in our cancel culture, if the left whines like they do, like a spoiled brat often enough, I love it, they succeed in canceling so many voices of truth, the priest told parishioners. And now that they are whining like, if I may say it, the pansy babies that they are, I think he used a great deal of restraint there, to cancel me. So it was good. We need that type of boldness standing up. So good on him. I want to share with you one last time before we go into the break, a quote by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who shared his experiences of being in the communist gulags in the Soviet Union. They went through the same thing. They saw this creeping gradualism come on, and then it built an intensity, it built momentum, and that next thing you know, they're in camps. Any efforts to speak up against it, people were shut down, they were canceled, they were silenced, or they were beat down with peer pressure, and eventually they ended up either shot or in the gulags because they were a threat to good order and the state. Solzhenitsyn wrote this: we know they are lying. They know they are lying. They know that we know they are lying. We know that they know that we know they are lying. And still they continue to lie. We'll be right back.
Doctors aren't allowed to question COVID-19 in public. Material containing the truth about the alleged disease and the vaccine is banned. In the last year, I've been demonized and lied about, and a 50-year career and reputation trashed by those promoting a pandemic that never was and a vaccine that was never needed. The whole COVID-19 scam is, as I said in March 2020, the greatest hoax in history. The principle of informed consent is essential in medicine, but patients now having vaccines can't give informed consent because they aren't being informed.
Abe Lincoln here. In 1773, patriots broke the chains of British tyranny by throwing tea into Boston Harbor. On that day, Americans began drinking coffee. We celebrate that event daily here at Minutemen Coffee. All men are created equal. Coffee is not. Minutemen Coffee is roasted to perfection in small batches. Bold, smooth, and never bitter. Shipped to you fresh daily. Whole bean, ground, or our patented pods. www.minutemencoffee.com.
My name is Nils Fosse. I'm a medical doctor in Bergen, Norway. The COVID-19 vaccine has not been proven safe and effective. It's a new technology and it's been tested on a few thousands of people in a few months. Please do your own research. This is not a real medical pandemic. The death rates in Norway are not higher than on an average year.
Welcome back to segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt. It's a fine Sunday evening. I love this time of year. Still bright out, still light out. June 21st is the longest day of the year. So coming up on that in a few weeks. So I like this time of year. It's great. This segment is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping like-minded patriots like you get strategically relocated out of the occupied zones only if you leave liberalism at the border. Do not bring it with you. Do not escape the liberal policies and high taxes and failed policies that ran into the ground the culture, the place that you came from, and then try to come here to vote for Democrats and others and rhinos who would implement those same policies and run this place into the ground. So don't do it. Leave it at the door. Leave it at the border. But if you are truly a patriot and you want to get moved into some of the free zones, you're looking at the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is the website. I was reminded of this, and I want to bring you back to it. Micah 2:1-2, because this is what we're up against. Those people that are calling patriots extremists, terrorists, that must be dealt with, must be purged, a danger to our democracy. Those people are the danger to the republic. True patriots of the United States of America should be a danger to a democracy. We do have a limited democratic process built into our Constitution. That's the people choosing their representatives. But this is a constitutional republic with a limited democratic process for choosing our leaders built into that Constitution and within that republic. That's what they forget about. So, just like a tyrant calling a lieutenant governor a tyrant for giving the people liberty, Micah 2:1-2 says, "Woe to those who scheme iniquity, who work out evil in their beds. When morning comes, they do it, for it is in the power of their hands. They covet fields and they seize them, and houses and take them, and away they rob a man and his house, a man and his inheritance." That's exactly what communism does. Came across a story here. I was just absolutely blown away by this. The former Attorney General Bill Barr issues a massive warning about America's public school system, and he outlines an action plan for us. Now remember, Attorney General Bill Barr is the same one who's complicit in helping to cover up the coup that displaced the President of the United States, replacing him through a fake election, through a flawed election, and placing a communist-backed Manchurian candidate, essentially, into the Oval Office. An entire regime. It's not just a candidate, because Joe Biden is not running anything. He's incompetent. They got a team of communist revolutionaries and activists that are completely redesigning what used to be the Republic of the United States. So he's warning us about America's public school systems. Now, this is the same individual who said there is no evidence of widespread voter abuse. Would not look at a single case. This is the Attorney General. This is the highest prosecutor in the country. This is the one who would go after all of the evidence that, I mean, we're talking mountains and mountains of video. Surveillance cameras, security camera footage at these voting sites, more irregularities that we can even, I can't even recall all of them right now. There's mountains of them, of examples. The hundreds of people, if not thousands of people from multiple states willing to sign who have signed affidavits, willing to testify the things that they saw, which were clear violations. Just the governors who, under these so-called emergency actions because of COVID, they were given special powers. that the Constitution didn't matter. They were redefining voter laws. They were creating policies that were in direct contradiction with the various states' voting laws, which these constitutions of these various states clearly said only the legislature has the authority to change these voter laws, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. And the governors come along and said, oh, but this is an emergency. So, yeah, we're going to drop voter ID, verifying their residence, mail-in ballots, ballot locations. We're going to do away with that. All of this stuff that happened was all unconstitutional. Right in front of the face of the entire world, this is not something that is lost on an attorney general. This is very intentional. This is the deliberate complicity. But he's now here to be our friend, warning us. Oh, looking out for you guys. You're something very important. You need to know. I'm giving you a warning. This was a speech at, where was this? Alliance Defending Freedom. I was shocked to see that they would allow this. This is a traitor. The Communist Chinese Party has been directly involved in our elections. There's the evidence of it is irrefutable to any normal thinking person, and it's been suppressed. Saying nope, nothing to see here. Now he's here to help us by warning us. He warned that the increasingly militant and extreme secular progressive climate in our state-run education system was the greatest threat to religious liberty in America, and that too many people are only looking at the problems in relation to what it means for national unity and not what it means for long-term religious liberty in America. This is like Mitt Romney saying, hey, guys, listen to me. I'm really on your side. I have a warning for you. The Chinese communists, they're bad. They're our enemy. I'm just telling you this because I'm looking out for you. A, we already know this. We don't need to be told what's happening in our schools. We see it before our very eyes. We need people like our attorney general, to go after these perverts for putting sexual deviant material in front of our children. You don't warn us about what we can already see. We already know this. You're not our friend. You had a chance to be our friend, and you betrayed all of us. You stabbed us all in the back. You were in a position to stop a coup. Now you're going around giving speeches. How much did you get paid for this speech? Pretending to be our friend by warning us about what's happening in our schools. Well, we know all across America that public schools and public libraries have transvestites reading homosexual stories to our children, and you're warning us about the dangers of what they're teaching our children in the schools. And we're fighting this tooth and nail, and they're pushing the parents out, saying you don't belong. So this is one of the enemies within, pretending to be an ally. Which brings me to the next thing that I want to talk about. And this is a document, which actually I'm going to cover the document in the next segment. But this witch hunt that's taking place in our military, we're looking out for you. We're trying to root out extremism in the military. You know, white supremacy and nationalism, Trump supporters, you know, those type of really domestic terrorism from the ranks. The most of you in the military, I know we got a lot of listeners in the military. By the way, start using a VPN, virtual private network. It encrypts your internet activity. It masks your IP address. It changes your IP address. And it encrypts the traffic for the websites that you're going to visit, like Radio Free Redoubt or any of these. Reading about the Constitution. That could get you in a lot of trouble, probably. I'm sure, even though you took an oath to uphold and defend it, but don't you dare go looking in it to see what it says. We'll tell you what it says. We'll give you orders, and you just follow those orders, and just trust that we would never give you orders that are in contradiction with the Constitution that you took an oath to. Right. I've seen a lot of documentation. All of you have seen, and those of you who are in the military, you're seeing this training about sensitivity and transgenderism and extremism. And if you know of somebody that was at January 6th at this so-called insurrection, which law enforcement and military patriots by the tens of thousands, if not millions, were at the Capitol to support our president on January 6th. Now they're calling everybody who was there terrorists, including those in the military, those who voted for Trump, which they're going to have to get rid of 80% of our military, at least. And a large percentage of our law enforcement. But this was awesome. This is the type of leadership that we need, that we've been waiting for. Two GOP lawmakers this week launched a campaign calling on whistleblowers, whistleblowers in the military to come forward with their experiences in training programs that promote critical race theory or diversity, equity, and inclusion. Awesome. Okay, this is coming at us from Zero Hedge. I love this. This is from a former Navy SEAL, Representative Dan Crenshaw, a Republican from Texas. And by the way, Idaho sent a... They've sold us out, these guys. But anyway, Representative Dan Crenshaw, former Navy SEAL, says, "We won't let our military fall to woke ideology." Hooah. Thank you. Somebody standing up. "With written permission, we will anonymously publish egregious complaints on social media and tell the country what's happening in our military. For too long, progressives, Pentagon staffers have been calling the shots for our warfighters," said Crenshaw about the webpage posted in conjunction with Senator Tom Cotton, Republican, Arkansas, who's also a former Army captain. This is, I can't tell you how excited I am to see this kind of stuff taking place right here. It's about time. That's what it's all about. Okay, this is just a great article. I want you to go read it at Zero Hedge for yourself. It's "We Are Going to Expose You, Crenshaw, Cotton, Create Military Whistleblower Site." And he says, "Progressive Pentagon staffers have been calling the shots for our warfighters," the lawmaker added, "and spineless military commanders have let it happen. Now we are going to expose you." Excellent. Earlier this month, the U.S. Space Force confirmed it relieved Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer, which, by the way, I have an order in for his book. Can't wait for that to get out as soon as they get caught up. "Marxism and critical race theory, which draws heavy inspiration from Marxist critical theory, are both being spread in the military via training courses that are required by Department of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin." Boo! Hiss! Boo! That individual should never be in that position. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Get him out of there. Anyway, Lieutenant General Stephen Whiting, Space Operations Command Commander, relieved Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer of command of the 11th Space Warning Squadron at Buckley Air Force Base in Colorado. That was just a couple of weeks ago. "Due to the loss of trust and confidence in his ability to lead." He was leading. He's pointing out. That's exactly what our military officers should be doing, is pointing out Marxism in our military. That's the real threat. But patriots have always been a threat to Marxists. At least American patriots have. So, good on them. Oh, and also the website. The website that they got set up is crenshaw.house.gov/whistleblower. Excellent. There's a whistleblower form here that you can fill out to talk about exactly what type of Marxism, critical race theory, anything anti-American or unconstitutional. Use your personal resources and contact information when communicating, submitting this form. Do not use your work equipment or work contact information. Further, do not submit classified information or other information barred from release through this form or by email. Okay, so yeah, great point. It's crenshaw.house.gov/whistleblower. It's a whistleblower page that Dan Crenshaw has set up. Once again, if you want to start using a VPN, I strongly recommend it. This is the time for Patriots to start tightening things up as far as security and anonymity and encryption on the internet. And this is, it's turnkey. It's easy. Go to radiofreeredoubt.com. Look over on the right-hand side. Scroll down about, I don't know, three-quarters of the way down there and look for NordVPN. NordVPN. It's the banner. Click on that. I can't even remember what it is now. A year, but I can't remember what I pay, but it's worth it. It encrypts all of your internet traffic and it alters your IP address. You can connect to multiple nodes around the world. So it makes it look like you're coming from Canada or Iceland or Switzerland. and also I would recommend setting up a ProtonMail.account. Use some type of non-personal information. Like Super Trooper 357, something like that, at protonmail.com. It's free. There are other email services that I recommend as well, but that'll get you started with something that's encrypted, something that's more anonymous, and it's offshore. So use that for this type of correspondence and other type of correspondence and start really securing your stuff and watch what you put out on social, or just stop using social media altogether. It's just keep it super vanilla because they're looking for anything patriotic. I'm going to talk about that when we come back. The things that they're, hey, come and take it. Don't tread on me. Appeal to heaven, flags from the Revolutionary War. All that kind of stuff is extremist symbology now. Unreal where we are. But I'm going to talk about that when we come back in segment 3. And then segment 4, we'll bring on Lady Liberty and talk about some of the other issues that we are tracking. So stay right there.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Yes, the communists have planned for you. As soon as they're in power, they will arrest many of you, seize your property. If you're important enough, they will shoot you, along with all community leaders. The rest of you will be regimented, and some of you forced into slave labor. This is the planned, plotted, tested program they are determined to execute in this country, as they already have in many others. Don't think for a minute their program is on a take-it-or-leave-it basis. When you see where the Reds have grabbed a new slice of territory here or a whole nation there, well, don't tranquilize yourself with the thought that this will satisfy them. Every move they make, every piece of ground they gobble up, every labor union, every government agency, every local organization they infiltrate in this country is just one more step towards their main goal, which is America and you.
All right, welcome back. Segment 3, a little bit shorter here on this segment. But this segment is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, helping to... helping you to get the most out of your property and get the home field advantage on your property with developing the layout of your property with food and water, food production, water procurement, defensibility, alternative power, accessibility, all of the stuff that really, you know, go into really considering – everything that a prepper might want to think about for your property to get the most out of it. And then also, if you have multiple properties you're considering and you're comparing them and weighing them, and maybe you'd want some professional expert advice to kind of help you go through those, the pros and cons of each, and find out the one that's going to meet your needs the best. They have those consulting services as well. So check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. All right, now in this segment, I want to go over a document that I have. That's this particular document was sent to me, and it contains a lot of the same information that I've seen in other documents, but I've just not had not seen this particular document itself. It's called DARPA, and it is unclassified, but it's being distributed throughout the Department of Defense. This is Extremism and Insider Threat in the DOD. So they've got this Threat Management and Analysis Center. Extremism and Insider Threat in the DOD. So this basically is kind of an offshoot of what we had when I was in, and that was SAEDA, Subversion and Espionage, directed against the Army. But let me just go over a couple of these here. Psychosocial vulnerabilities exploited by extremist groups. So this is a breakdown of how they operate, kind of what our, what our, you know, patriot group, extremist patriots, our modus operandi for exploiting you, right? Perceived injustice. When people believe they have been wronged, it is a natural tendency to seek someone or something to blame. Extremist groups provide simple explanations for injustice, identify wrongdoers, and offer opportunities for redress. And this is funny. So if we say you have taken someone's property without due process, you've bypassed the Constitution, and this is wrong, and we want to stand up and say this is wrong, we want to petition the government, then anyone we might talk to, we're exploiting them, right? Because we have a perceived injustice. So if it's whatever the government wants to do, and it's wrong, unlawful, and you speak out against it, you now have a perceived injustice. So right off the bat, remember what we said, that the cycle of oppressing a group of people, first step is marginalization. This is how you marginalize somebody, right? When you say, it could be a woman that's been raped and she goes to report it, and they say, well, she has a perceived injustice. No, this is something that really happened. It's not perceived. It's wrong. It's against the law. It's against nature. It's wrong. Well, we understand you have a perceived injustice. They will search for identity and purpose. Without a clear sense of identity or purpose, people tend to become lost, depressed, or angry. So, in the founding of our country, they had committees of correspondence and committees of safety. And then those oversaw militias. Well, here they say extremist groups provide a structure around which to establish pride in self, where you have a guide for thought and behavior built on moral certainty. So this is part of the identifying, extremism. They look for people with a need for belonging. So in modern day, when you see anti-American activities increasing and you want to form a local community group, then that's what you do. You're exploiting people based on a perceived injustice. Like communist revolutionaries wanting to come and burn all your businesses down in your town. So you form a group of people together to stand against them. Now you're trying to recruit other people based on your perceived injustice, and you're trying to create a sense of belonging for for them. So you're exploiting people in your neighborhood by joining you to perform, to provide this security. But this is how they operate. This is how the left is operating right now. So in our military, so this is it. The symbols, this is another section. Symbols of extremism. Symbols stand for something else, can be used to build pride or create a positive emotional connection, can be used to fuel feelings of revenge, hatred, fear, or to control others. And beware of symbols of far right, far left Islamist, or single issue ideologies. I'm really surprised they allowed Islamist to be in here, but I guess with ISIS, it's kind of hard not to, because right here in the middle of all of these logos and slogans, they've got Antifa, believe it or not. They don't have Black Lives Matter, which is directly a communist organization. Of course, they're flying Black Lives Matter flags at all of our outposts now, our embassies and consulates and places like that. A communist-backed organization founded on communism by communists, openly vowed, bragging about their Marxist roots, are Black Lives Matter. And so while they're hunting for symbols of extremism, they're hoisting a flag of communist organization at our nation's capitals, or the symbol of our nation's capitals, or, you know, our outposts, embassies. So right square in the middle, we've got Oath Keepers. Now, these are veterans, military, police, first responders who have all taken oaths, vowing that we will not break our oath. I will never disarm law-abiding citizens, round them up, forcibly relocate them. I will never knowingly violate my oath. I will never follow illegal orders. I'm not going to be used as an instrument to oppress my fellow citizens. We are Oath Keepers. That's essentially what they're saying, the Oath Keeper group. Well, they've got Oath Keepers listed as extremists, domestic terrorists, and their flag is right next to ISIS flag. Right next to the ISIS flag. They've got Antifa here. They've got, I'll post this document so you can take a look at it for the show notes for this show. Oh, of course, they got 3% up there. Oh, there's the come and take it flag, symbols of extremism. Boogaloo Boys. Oh, Proud Boys. Yeah, so there's a Nazi symbol in there. So, yeah, they kind of got pretty good little mix here. But where does your eye go? Right to the center. Your eye goes right to the center of this, where the Oath Keepers is right next to ISIS. So, extremism by association, I guess. So, recognizing and reporting indicators such as our observable behaviors and symbols for violent extremism are essential to mitigating the risk. There's numbers here for them to call, strategic resource offices. When you observe this, indicators and risk factors for violent extremism must be reported. Appropriate avenues for reporting are your technical office leadership, blah, 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 right down the line. Your chain of command and, of course, other places or other offices. Where is it? I'm looking at, oh, there's the anarchy. Oh, there's the, I don't know, White Cross thing. It must be some white supremacy group. Doesn't say who it is. But here's the overview. This is what I wanted to get down to. Patriot/militia extremism. Their core beliefs. This ideology holds that the U.S. government has become corrupt, has overstepped its constitutional boundaries, or is no longer capable of protecting the people against foreign threats. Well, let's see. We've got a border that's completely wide open. The ICE and other Border Patrol agents are screaming for help. They're saying they're being overrun by cartels. And so now we have this core belief that our ideology is that the government can't, not can't, but won't protect us against foreign threats. It's kind of hard to protect you against foreign threats, too, when we're putting out military recruiting videos of little girls being raised by lesbian moms, parents. And that's the image of our military, of our defense. It's nothing like encouraging your enemy to attack, right? Holds that the U.S. government has become corrupt. Need I say more? No, remember, these are perceived grievances. Marginalization is the first step. On these grounds, they refuse to accept the government's authority to tax or govern them. Well, they have the constitutional authority to tax and to govern. But that doesn't mean you get to act unlawfully, just like we don't get to act unlawfully. That's the part you're overlooking. As such, they do not believe they are subject to the laws of the U.S. Not true. We're subject to all of the lawful laws, laws that are not in conflict with the higher law. See, the 16th American jurisprudence says any law that's passed which is in conflict with the Constitution is no law at all. It is null and void as if it had never been passed at all. So that's the law of our land. So when we see an unconstitutional law that's a violation of the Constitution, we are duty-bound not to follow it. And now you're saying we refuse to follow U.S. laws. That's duplicitous. That's disingenuous. Their primary target of patriots and militias are government personnel, most notably tax officials. I haven't heard anybody mention tax officials in the militia or patriots. That doesn't come up. Symbols and structures representing government authority. Oh, you mean like blowing up the ICE office? Oh, wait, that was Antifa. Oh, yeah, you mean like throwing Molotov cocktails and other improvised explosive devices at the federal building in Portland? Oh, wait, that was communist revolutionaries, Antifa. Here's their other primary target of you and me, patriots, law enforcement. Are you serious? The law enforcement are the primary target of Antifa and BLM. How many patriots and militias have been dancing on top of burning police cars that you've seen in the last 3-4 years? It's all been Antifa or Occupy or Black Lives Matter or any of these other communist revolutionary groups. They're the ones calling for killing law enforcement. Matter of fact, it was the patriots and the militias that rolled out to back the law enforcement in the American Redoubt when Antifa and or BLM was threatening to come to Coeur d'Alene and Sandpoint. And the patriots rolled out and the law enforcement said, thank you. Thank you for being here. Let us be the front. You guys just consider yourselves backup, but just stay out of the way. Let us be the primaries if anything goes down. And everybody says, cool. But, boy, I'll tell you what, no law enforcement in the country felt safer than in Coeur d'Alene and Sandpoint. And they all said so. Anyone they believe is threatening their constitutional rights, such as law enforcement, judges, or politicians. That's our other primary target, I guess. An alternate primary target is anyone they believe is threatening their constitutional rights. It's all of our constitutional rights. And by the way, all of the men who wrote the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were resisting a tyrannical law enforcement, judges, and politicians, military troops, by a very tyrannous king. Matter of fact, they said, we have to have the ability to be armed as a citizenry in case our government and all of their instruments, such as law enforcement, judges, politicians, become so corrupt and tyrannous that the people have to resist them to restore law to the land and the Constitution. That's what it's there for. It should just say primary target, tyrants. That's it. Not all government personnel are tyrants. Not all law enforcement are tyrants. Not all judges, law enforcement, or politicians are tyrants. We have friends among all of those. But those that are tyrants, those that would oppress citizens and violate their constitutional rights, that's exactly what the Founding Fathers said the Second Amendment and the militias were for. In fact, the militias, by the way, are listed as necessary for the security of a free state. That's in our Constitution. So this document here talks about how we need to, you know, fight for our oath. Let me read you the final document. This is Lloyd Austin III, Secretary of Defense. She just resigned. He said, "We need your help." This is the bottom of this document. I'm talking, of course, about extremism and extremist ideology, not communism now. We're not talking about communism here. We're talking about patriots, okay? Views and conduct that run counter to everything that we, let me fill that in, communists, believe in, and which can actually tear at the fabric of who we, let me fill that in, globalists, are as an institution. Let me fill that in, United Nations. which can actually tear at the fabric of who we are as an institution. See, he's not thinking the same institution as you are. He's not thinking of what we believe is in the same things that you believe. Okay, we can't afford actions and behavior that are at odds with our, let me fill that in for you, communists, values, and that undermine good order and discipline. What they're doing is undermining good order and discipline. This Secretary of Defense is the one that should be actually detained, CID, where are you, by undermining good order and discipline. All right. That harm and harass and otherwise violate the oath that we share and the bonds of trust upon which we all rely. So we can't afford actions and behavior that harm and harass and otherwise violate the oath that we share. So those who say, "I will follow and keep my oath," is a violation of the oath. Am I reading that right? Anyway, I'm baffled by this. I'm gonna post this document. Thank you to the readers who sent that, or listeners who sent that to me. Thank you guys for your patriotism. And those of you that are serving in the military the agencies and law enforcement and everywhere who are truly our patriots, not pretend patriots, not informants. God bless you guys. You be safe and report this stuff. Tom Cotton and Crenshaw. I'm hoping that they are going to be the first in a series of real leadership that are stepping forward that others will rally around and behind to protect those in the military who are acting lawfully and patriotic and being called extremists and even terrorists for that, especially as this regime attempts to purge our agencies and our law enforcement, our military, based on these twisted standards and misaligning and demonizing patriots and good people. Placing the Oathkeeper flag right next to the ISIS flag, seriously, that's juvenile. So we all see through it. And thank all of you for seeing through it. Okay, let's take a break. Come back here with segment 4 and Lady Liberty to wind things up and send you guys off for the rest of your week. So, short week. All right, stay right there. back, Patriots, to the fourth and final segment of episode 21-17. Don't forget to have July 24th on your calendar. The place to be, St. Regis, Montana. It's just 33 miles exactly east of the Idaho-Montana border, straight across from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, off of I-90. Interstate 90 will take you to exit 33, St. Regis, for a full day of the Red Pill Festival. Lots of great speakers lined up. There are multiple elected officials from Montana, including Derek Skies, Montana State House Republican representative from District 11. He's going to be the master of ceremonies. Looking forward to meeting him. I've never met him before. Joey Gibson from Patriot Prayer, Representative Heather Scott, yours truly, Lady Liberty, Caleb Collier from the John Birch Society, Pastor Afshin Yagtin, awesome guy. Went to jail last year for standing up against this transvestite public library thing. Music by Jordan Page. Lots of good stuff going on. Greg Pruitt, Scott Herndon, John Jacob Schmidt, Bill Jasper. Man, a lot of those names you guys are already familiar with. But one name that you are very familiar with, Lady Liberty. I've got her sitting here right here in the studio with me with some awesome, some frightening updates, but things we need to know about. Lady Liberty, thanks for sitting in, being with me.
Well, you're welcome. And as always, it's a privilege to be here, and especially over this Memorial Day weekend. And so, yeah, we've got some stuff here that's kind of right up my alley. And this is an awful lot to do with everything that I tried to warn people about in my book. And so what we're seeing here and what we're going to talk about is I have an article here from the Epoch Times titled, "Banks' Climate Pledges Would Downgrade Non-Woke Businesses to Second-Tier Economy," experts say. And so we're just going to dive right into this thing, because what that means is that this whole UN lie of climate change and global warming is now going to be enforced and used to discriminate against all of us, starting with businesses. Based on who is willing to comply with this and who is not. And
they're getting us coming and going. So you got vaccine and mask second class citizens.
Right.
You're going to have second class citizens / second class businesses.
Second class businesses. And what they're doing there, it's also they're forcing them into fascism, forcing them to comply with what works for them as a government. And to the detriment of the people. And that's always how fascism works, according to Mussolini's perfect definition of fascism, right? Where corporations and government work in tandem to do something, each doing something that the other can't do legally in order to control the population, but not to the population's benefit, to their detriment.
So the banks are going to, they're ready to make our lives miserable if we don't comply with this, because their lives are being made miserable if they don't comply with this. And who's they? Who's the next they? Who's putting pressure on them?
Okay, so the banks are receiving the pressure from the UN, the United Nations. They are the New World Order. They are the governing body, right? And so,
is this through like the central bank or?
This is just following their climate agenda with everything to do with carbon taxing and sustainability, right?
Right.
And so I'm just going to start reading through this, and we can talk about this as we go, because it starts that businesses seeking financing may soon face a flurry of requirements that will, in effect, determine whether they are woke enough to be approved by financial institutions for loans or investment. It says, while the requirements are presented as goodwill toward the downtrodden and the environment, they are underpinned by an ideology with totalitarian tendencies, according to several experts on totalitarianism and market economy. And it says the agenda is being pushed by many of the biggest names in finance, including major banks, investment houses, and wealth managers. If successful, the financial institution's agenda would create a two-tiered economy with the woke class slated for preferential treatment and dissenters, or traditional American capitalists, relegated to picking up the scraps, the expert said. And so this will break here for a second. This we have been seeing and hearing from the ag community as well, where long-standing people that have been in ag for just generations and generations.
As in agriculture.
Agriculture.
Hay growers and cattle farmers.
Yeah, grain growers, wheat, corn, you name it. People that have been farming and getting government loans and subsidies all this time. Now they're not getting a lot of the same loans that they used to. They're now being denied. And you and I have heard that personally in our local area.
Yep.
And so so this is part of that system that they're going to be pushing, all based on climate change, the biggest lie outside of this scamdemic. Right.
And we are talking directly to people that are in agriculture. This is not down at the local cafe where you heard, hey, did you hear old Fred said that his brother couldn't get a loan?
Because
it's all like kind of foggy. And we're talking directly looking him in the face.
Yep. And them saying, and I can't get a loan.
They won't give me a loan. And this is why they said they wouldn't.
That's right.
Yep.
And so, okay. So continuing on, it says, woke in this sense refers to a set of progressive views that have dominated establishment circles in government, academia, and the corporate world. The companies are promising they will give preferential treatment to clients that run their operations in a sustainable manner.
Oh boy.
That means clients will have to implement policies that, in the bank's view, reduce carbon emissions or promote a number of other goals such as gender equality and racial equity. Clients that don't support carbon reductions should face penalties such as exclusion and divestment, according to the guidelines of the United Nations-backed Net Zero Banking Alliance, which counts dozens of major banks among its members. And so this right here, this is exactly what my book's about. This is the perils of sustainable development, and this is part of their agenda.
Yeah.
And so here they're
bringing... This is the perilous part.
Yes, exactly. Here they're bringing the world's banks, the biggest banks in all of America. And the interesting part of this that I also have in my book that nobody's even touched on yet is going to be a possible solution against this attack. So stay tuned here for a minute. It says, many scientists predict that unless carbon emissions are drastically cut, the planet will get warmer and experience more severe natural disasters such as flooding and droughts. Other scientists question such catastrophic climate predictions, which hold a poor track record of coming true. However, you and I know that the UN and globalists also use geoengineering to control the weather. Right. So they can claim that all these carbon emissions are causing this drought in this area or this flood in this area that never gets it before, okay. Right? When they can just basically call it in to wherever their geoengineering station is and say, we need a storm or we need a drought in this area. Bang, they've got it. So how they're going to try to falsely back up this carbon garbage.
But see, even if you call them on that, they're so twisted that they could say, well, our weather modification machine, we're trying to make rain, but your flatulent cows are messing up our machine, and so we can't even bring rain in. Your cows are screwing things up. Yes, we can modify the weather if you weren't in the – you and your meddling kids and your meddling cows would have gotten away with it.
It gets so ridiculous. You know, I mean, you can't even take this seriously because the lies compound each other in order to contradict each other. I mean, it's bad when you have one lie, but when you've got 50 lies and pretty soon you're going in such circles that you can't even figure out which lie is worse than the other, you know?
I know. You just want to thunk them on the forehead. Dunk, dunk, dunk. McBiden. Hello, McBiden.
You just said.
McFly.
I know. So, okay. So continuing on, it says, pragmatically, The financier's agenda aligns with the policies of the Biden administration, giving them an opportunity to capture some of the hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars that the president promises to bankroll. At the same time, they can try to influence the setting up of the regulatory framework, making sure it benefits them rather than newcomers, which, of course, is always their agenda in fascism. They want to just pocket tons and tons of money and just steal it all from the people, especially through regulations. So that's the name of the game for fascism. It's regulations and permits and fees. And so then it says, after all, banking executives have a fiduciary duty to bring profit to shareholders, even if the profits are backed by government intervention, according to Peter Klein of Baylor University Entrepreneurship Professor and Research Fellow at the Libertarian Mises Institute. If they can do so by taking advantage of the regulatory system, by taking advantage of the legal system, why wouldn't they do that? He told the Epoch Times. Some experts have warned that if the investment push fails, it could end up in a colossal bailout, another transfer of wealth to corporations from taxpayers again. Yet such an agenda poses even more fundamental risks, as it requires assent to an ideology that is, in essence, totalitarian, scholars have pointed out. It is totalitarian in the tune of fascism combined with communism. And so this two-tiered economy, it says, advocates of freedom usually warn against the government's attempts at central planning, but it's not just government officials who have the planner's mentality. It can often be top executives as well. So here they're saying it's not going to be just government. It's going to be corporate executives. So there you've got the fascism, the public-private partnership.
Yep.
Right? And so the public-private partnership is the new term for Mussolini's fascism. They don't even say fascism anymore. They just call it public-private partnerships.
Right.
And so it says in government, but of course also in private sector, you have sort of a cadre of elite decision makers who view themselves as being better positioned to make important decisions than other market participants, he said.
Of course they are.
Yeah. And so, because they're given all the advantages, right?
Yep.
And so the universal struggle against competition promises to produce, in the first instance, something in many respects even worse, a state of affairs which can satisfy neither planners nor free market liberals, a sort of syndicalist or corporative organization of industry in which competition is more or less suppressed, but planning is left in the hands of the independent monopolies of the separate industries. And so he wrote a book called The Road to Serfdom. And that's exactly,
I'm familiar with
yeah.
That.
Okay. So he says this is the inevitable first result of a situation in which the people are united in their hostility to competition, but agree on little else. By destroying competition in industry after industry, this policy puts the consumer at the mercy of the joint monopolist action of capitalists and workers in their best organized industries. And gosh, it just kind of keeps going and describing how they are going to set up this preferential fascist system where if you're not willing to be part of their fascist system and you still want to be a capitalist, right?
Right.
You can still function. It's just you're going to have a really, really hard time because you're not going to be able to get loans. You're always going to be considered a second-rate business. And so one of their bottom lines here is that it says that the objective is to curtail the mobility and consumption of the vast majority and reduce them to captives of the Great Reset agenda. Because it says this financial stranglehold over industries will consolidate the economic status of favored producers and strengthen their monopolization over production and distribution. So this is a static hierarchy and will lead to stagnation and likely the need for the state to intervene even more than it's doing already. And so he also says the elimination of a thriving middle class is always the road to serfdom. So you know, this is kind of what we are looking at with the UN telling the banks which businesses they're going to continue to work with and which banks they're going to give preferential treatment to. and just how much they're willing to go along with this carbon credit system and compliance. And so
what's the timeline on this? What are they? Are they setting goals? Are they saying?
There is no timeline so far. Okay. They didn't mention anything as to has it already started? Has this been going on for 6 months already? However, it has been going on long enough to get the attention of 15 state treasurers from the United States. Because here's where we could actually see some sort of fending off of this attempt by the globalists to ram this this climate change fascist system on our businesses down our throats. And so it says here, 15 state treasurers warn they will pull assets from banks that obstruct the fossil fuel industry.
Now they're
playing ball.
Yep. You're not the only bank in town.
There was a first hit, right?
Yep.
First hit back across the field. So good for them, because that's thinking. Because what we've got here, and this is also covered in my book, and nobody else is covering this with Agenda 21 or Agenda 30, any of that combination, is the fact that fascism's economic model uses what all of our counties, cities, and states have across the United States called a local government investment pool, right? Okay, so just follow me with this for a minute.
LGIPs.
And so LGIPs is something that happens when they have a tax in your county that goes towards something, and any of those funds that they don't use for that purpose, they put directly into something like a general fund or what you might call a slush fund, right? Mm-hmm. And so that is actually termed a local government investment pool. And so these LGIPs exist in every single county in the nation. And our tiny little county here in eastern Washington of just 40,000 people, the last time we checked, had over $42 million sitting in it from these LGIPs, this collected money. Because what they do with that money is each county and city will send those funds to the state treasury, right? The state treasurer will invest those into the 10 to 12 of the United States' top banks, like Wells Fargo, all the big names, more or less. Mm-hmm. And so every single year, the state treasury will put out something called a comprehensive annual financial report, or a CAFR, right? And so these CAFRs exist in every single state. You can look them up in your own state to get a final amount, you know, per state per year.
Right.
And what they have reported across all 50 states is that all these combined assets in these CAFRs and sitting in all of these top 10 or 12 major banks ends up being about $60 trillion.
What?
Because they end up sitting there collecting anywhere from 1 to 3% interest from these banks. And so they use our extra tax dollars that don't belong to them. They actually belong to us, and they should be returned to us if they don't use them. And at least that's the old school way of thinking, or the traditional American way of thinking. And so it's interesting that this is coming up now, that these state treasurers, they know about the CAFRs. They know how much money they are putting into each one of these banks. And so if these banks are going to try to pull this garbage of establishing a coercion system where you either do this or we're not going to work with you anymore.
Right.
And these state treasurers are saying, oh, really? Not so fast. If we see you touching the fossil fuel industry and threatening to shut them down more or less and not work with them and not give them any loans anymore, we are going to pull assets from your banks.
Outstanding.
And so I think that could be a saving grace for the whole entire United States.
Well, you know what's scary, though? Here's the thing. I've seen double standards, obviously, before, and so have you. The oil industry, what I'm concerned about is that these secretaries of state are going to be looking out for the oil industry big boys, But the little business guys, the ag guy, the guy that's just got, you know, 100, you know, 1,000 acres that he's trying to right. raise cattle on or, you know, grow hay and sell it.
Yep.
That they won't, they're not going to have that protection. You won't have the big brother standing behind you right. with this, you know, fist saying, you better not mess with my little brother. They're going to let you get eaten up by the wolves while they're protecting the oil industry who are lining their pockets.
Yeah. And that's the only drawback with this. I mean, I like to see him playing ball and thinking about, returning a good solid punch. But you're right. I mean, they're talking about just protecting major industry. They're talking about protecting coal, oil, and natural gas. And, yeah.
Energy sector.
And so what about all the little guys?
Right.
We're just going to get crushed. And that's what they're looking for specifically is crushing the hardworking middle class.
Well, that, you know, public awareness, public pressure can go a long ways. And so if our state senators and representatives are getting pressure from the public because of awareness, because of stuff like this that you're talking about,
right.
where people are saying, hey, you did it for the pipeline guys. Hey, you did it for the coal mine. Hey, you did it for, you know, whatever. Then why are you not looking out for us? It's going to put pressure on them to make sure that there's protection for everybody. I'm hoping that, you know, that will be contagious.
Right. I mean, that's what we could hope for. And truly the whole backbone of getting that accomplished starts with the electronic voting machines, because we can in no way put pressure on any elected official so long as we have a manipulated vote through
right.
any kind of electronic voting system. So,
yeah.
So at right now we're powerless. We're powerless until we get the electronic voting system corrected.
Well, and we're eager, very eagerly looking forward to the Arizona results from their report on their audit. There's the preliminary reports that have been kind of snuck out have indicated horrible cases of voter fraud and irregularities and illegal activity. Wisconsin's about ready to open theirs up.
Right.
And then a couple of others. So
and Georgia was supposed to be, but now they're dragging their feet.
And well, of course they are.
Trump's blasting them for that. So good on him.
Yeah, good. I figured they would drag their feet because look what they did. They threw
they were
Trump
the cause
completely.
Of all sorts of problems.
Yep.
Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
They were.
Yep.
So if Arizona, when Arizona falls, it's going to excite. Then all the other states are going to go, whoa. The
yep.
possibilities.
That's right.
Let's do it, you know.
Yep.
And so we'll see.
Well, and I think that this Biden coup regime is so vile and so threatening that I don't think the Democrats can even support it. I think that them seeing this in action has got to be taking them back a little bit, because I know that we've seen Democrats just jumping off that party boat as fast as they can because
we
don't even recognize them anymore.
Yep.
And
well, we've been trying to tell them for, you know, years.
Yeah. And so they can either watch this nation be totally lost to foreign communism and the globalist agenda, or they can kind of swallow their pride a little bit and, you know, help with this election fraud. That's all they'd have to do
yep.
is facilitate the evidence being shown in this election fraud. And we would get the United States returned back to us at that point.
Yeah. One would hope.
One would hope.
All right. Well, thank you for
two,
that.
Two would hope.
Yes. Yes, we too would. All right. Well, man, it's been, we're in the middle of a long weekend. It's really exciting. We're going to do some cool stuff tomorrow after the morning commute.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Jump on the bikes and go see some memorial
You'll have
services.
A blast.
And,
yep.
Yeah. Go ripping around.
That's right.
Yeah.
Soak up some sun.
Exactly. Well, not really. It's kind of hard to soak up sun when you're covered with leather and denim. But
well, yeah. And a helmet.
Yeah. But when we stop, we will
my neck,
do our
the
best.
Back of
there
my
you
neck
go.
Might get a little sun. So,
maybe.
Hey.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, hey, you have a safe, blessed week and be safe. And stay tuned every morning for the morning commute at 7 a.m. on out of Spokane there. Go to radioforredoubt.com and click on the Listen to RFR to find out all the different ways that you can listen. And, yeah, well, otherwise, we'll see you right here next Sunday night for the next podcast.
That's right. You all have a blessed week and have a blessed Memorial Day.
Yes, there you go. All right. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.